You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Andrew Crackle. Here's a new episode of Savor with host Will Smith.
You're listening to Savor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name's Will Smith. I'm your host. This is a place where we talk about food. I always like to keep things local. Today, I'm very excited to have Kelly Furtado of Beet Farm Co-op here in Ashland. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you for having me, William. I'm very excited about doing this.
I know. So I'm always curious about how people get involved in food, and you have quite an interesting background, which I wanted to hit upon.
I do. It has me.
Right?
For sure. Yes, I come from a long line of restaurateurs, yeah. As well as my family are some of the first butchers in Maui.
Uh-huh. So amazing.
So the history of food in general, restaurants, chefs, is my bloodline.
So as a kid, you were just running around restaurants?
100%. The restaurant raised me,
so amazing. How are you with butchery?
I am not fabulous at that. The irony about that is I grew up in steakhouses most of my life.
So interesting.
And the story goes that my uncle Buzz, the creator of Buzz's Steakhouse, actually created the salad bar.
So amazing.
Originally. So I grew up that way, my whole entire life just embedded in all of it.
Yeah, I love that.
I was a vegetarian for about 8 to 10 years.
So great.
And my father didn't think that was very funny. But my mother did accommodate me and made all of my meals for me so that I didn't eat steak or anything like that for a long time.
And your family's been on Maui or the Hawaiian Islands for
hundreds.
A long time.
It's a long time, yes. We're 11 generations deep.
Yeah, that's really
yes, long time.
Incredible.
Yes, and I have approximately 120 family members there currently.
So great.
Yeah, most of our family is there.
And it's been a hard few years for your family.
It has. Yeah. Being that we're some of the founding fathers of Lahaina especially, we have lost everything pretty much. Yeah, there's nothing left after the fire. So we are in the middle of a lot of things, but aiming towards rebuilding. It's complicated. I wish it wasn't, but because
and then the rain last week.
Yes, it makes you miss home.
I bet it's made me kind of. Oh, I bet you feel a little disconnected from.
I do. Yeah. I feel a little bit like there's moments where I'm like I've considered. Is this the time after being gone for so long, possibly revisiting, maybe going home?
Sure.
Yeah.
So how did you find your way to California?
I found my way to California originally by going to college in San Diego.
Okay.
Completely different fashion design school. I designed clothes instead of plates. And the restaurant business is a really hard business. Being a chef is really hard. It takes a toll on your family. It takes a toll on a lot of different things. So it was kind of embedded in me from my father to not do this as a job.
Sure.
He would say, you understand how hard this was on your own childhood. Don't do this. And so I didn't. I kind of steered away from it, even though I always had a job in the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. I kind of came a little bit late to the chef part of it, as far as I've always cooked, I've always done that. But actually having it as a career didn't really take place until a little bit after college.
Right.
And then I started looking at things a little bit differently, and people told me, this is what your calling is. You should be doing food.
Right. I think that sort of exposure at a young age, that's kind of like your life's blood, and then you had to try something else.
100%.
And then, so how did the chef
part of
portion
things
of your
grow?
Life?
So I was really concentrated on being a fashion designer, which sounds silly to me now, but it just, I had no, there's no nepotism in it whatsoever because I had no connections with anything. And then as time went on, I realized I wanted to be in food, but I wanted it to look different. I didn't want to just go home and work for the restaurants and work for my family and do all of those things.
Right.
I thought, how could I make this my own? And a very close friend said to me, you should become a private chef.
Right.
And that way the money is really great, but also you have control over things. And so I kind of dabbled in that for a moment when I lived in California and then went off to explore it more, started my first business, and that was called The Other Woman.
Huh.
And it was in a place called Las Gatas. And that's how I started. And it just kept growing and growing and then ended up taking me far, taking me.
I always think having gone to cooking school in my 20s, my path, which was food styling photography, is such a great thing. I think doing private chef, I had a friend who was a corporate chef. There's many, many really great food jobs that people don't know exist.
Yes, and I agree with that.
And I love that you found your own way to do things.
Yeah, I just knew that I wasn't wanting to work in a restaurant,
right,
like in the typical form that I had grown up in,
right,
and that there were other avenues to that. But my father and mother just knew the traditional ways of that being, so it's not exactly that I was met with like all the support in the world, because it kind of seemed like, well, how are you going to make money doing that? You know, is that a realistic thing?
Right.
And I didn't know either necessarily,
right,
but I paved the way to some different things. And I thought, well, why can't I create it,
sure,
and make it my own? And
right,
so that's basically kind of the standpoint I took.
So give us a little thumbnail on what you actually ended up doing in LA, which I think is so great.
So, yes. Yeah, so what I did that was really different and really kind of cemented my feet into the job and the career that I was in. After spending time in Northern California, I eventually ended up in LA. I worked for Beverly Hills Hotel for a bit. And then I also went into a new position with a friend of mine. My friend was working at Mandalay Pictures. And I asked her very nicely, do you have a sandwich girl? And she said, I do. And she happened to be my best friend. And she said, why? She's like, you make really like gourmet meals. Why are you asking about the sandwich girl position? And I said, well, what if we do a little spin on this?
Right.
What if we do gourmet meals and you get a menu and it comes out on Mondays. And then once they have the menu, they look at it. We go into the office just like the sandwich girl, except we have things like filet mignon with asparagus and quinoa. And she went, sold.
Yeah.
I want to do that. And so that was the concept.
I want to remind everyone, you're listening to Savor on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Will Smith, and my guest today is Kelly Furtado of Beet Farm Co-op. The thing that I really loved about it was you also packaged it in a different way, and I think that is a key.
It really was.
To putting yourself in a different kind of stratosphere.
It was, because I mean, everyone can understand what a sandwich person is.
Right.
And then you take, which most of my culinary experience, training, all of the things are Asian-influenced,
right,
or Pacific Rim-influenced. So it was like taking a bento box, mm-hmm, and a sandwich girl and smushing them together and being like, I'm going to bring this to your office.
Right.
And it was a dream for these people. These people normally go to really high-end places in Hollywood and all over L.A. But even if they order out, they get the food back and it's awful. You
right
know what I mean? It's like everyone's eating right cold food. It doesn't matter where it came from.
Right.
Here's an opportunity for them to get warm, delivered meals right to their doorstep.
Yeah.
And they ate it up, not to be punny, but they right did, literally.
So fast forward now to Ashland. You
yes
have this complete brand new idea,
yep,
kind of based on your general stores of your childhood in,
yep,
in Hawaii.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about Beet Farm Co-op.
Okay. So my career that I did that career and built something completely different in LA for 15 years.
Sure.
And it was wonderful. It was great. I was, you know, I worked for some really incredible people. Oprah Winfrey Network, Variety, Mandalay Pictures, all of these things gave me really great opportunities to broaden my scope and mind.
Right.
So when I decided that LA and my husband decided LA was just, we needed to move to the next phase.
Right.
He's in music, and that was his want, was to follow his dream in music. Well, so then we kind of needed to create a different avenue for that.
Right.
I did food, he did music. Well, of course, it seems obvious that you would do the two things together.
Sure.
Not so obvious. You have to make careers and make money.
Right.
So we decided to build a thing called Turntables and Tacos. Turntables and Tacos then eventually became Beet Farm Co-op
all
and
right
Olaloa General Store. Olaloa has been our moniker, which means lifelong,
mm-hmm,
long life in Hawaii. And we brought our two ideas together. However, we started right in 2020.
Right.
So it had to pause a little bit, and it took a couple different journeys, and we successfully did it in LA for a long time. And then when we came to Ashland and decided to be here, we weren't really looking at a brick and mortar. Right. But if we were going to continue on, we were not going to be able to buy farmland like we had originally wanted to do because the world bought everything. So eventually we settled on the location that we found and brought together the basis, like you said.
You guys are right next door to Case Coffee, right? Yep. In downtown Ashland.
Exactly. And right below the liquor store,
right.
Which is really funny. What really brought me to this space, one of the things that was really magical about it, because it really wasn't what we were intended to do here.
Sure.
And one of the things that made me really, really say yes to it was the fact that for 30 years, the wine cellar had had music.
Right.
And it was kind of a different way for 30 years,
right.
But the same concept, which is bringing community together.
Right.
And we've been told by that, by the owner.
And in that vein, you have a myriad of different things you do. What are some of those?
Yep. So we do everything from baby yoga to we do mom jam, which is a bunch of really fun things with you bring your kid and you dance and you do hip hop and you do DJ stuff. We do live music. We do electric music. We do everything. Kids, drum circles. We do all kinds of really fun stuff. And basically the whole entire concept is this. There's a general store that's inside, which a lot of the products that are there are Hawaii artist based.
Right.
And then there's music. So it's food and music brought together. The general store is a representation of Hawaii,
yeah, love
which
that.
Is Hawaii. When you go to the general store and you're like, you know everybody there and you're there to get a shave ice or a coffee or whatever. And often someone's playing the ukulele there. And it's just this place of community that's brought together. And that's the intention behind it.
Well, and I love that you're doing simple food but with excellent kind of gourmet ingredients.
Yes, and that's kind of the kitschy fun thing about it. So the kitschy fun thing about the food part is that, yes, we can all get ramen, and ramen's a big thing right now. Well, the funny part is that we're a small little place. We're not trying to be the next gourmet stop. We're trying to be fun but have good food.
Right.
So we do ramen, which is literally the ramen that's out of Top Ramen.
Right. Comes in its own bowl.
Yep, exactly. And then we do high-end ingredients.
Yes.
So if you're getting birria ramen, for example, or pork belly, and you're getting gochujang pork belly, it's high-end product that's in it. So it's very kitschy, but people go, oh, my God, this is incredible. It's so like, good. This is fun.
And then also tacos.
We do tacos. We do a lot of different things like smoked kalua pig tacos, which has Hawaii flair to it. We also have all kinds of different things that we do. Tacos, and we do little Sammy melts that we do.
My favorite.
With the different ingredients. Sometimes we do mozzarella with the smoked jam. We do all kinds of different things.
Yeah. So great. And also, to get on the hip factor with low alcohol, which I think is great, people are drinking less and less and less. So you have a selection of mocktails, too.
We do. We serve a lot of options for drinks that are not alcohol-based. And then we also, usually for most of our events that we do, we'll come up with a mocktail that kind of suits the event. And one of the other really great things about it that we think, we keep our pricing really, really low.
Right. I was struck by that, which is
It's like
great.
$5 for almost every single thing.
I just went out for a burger and an appetizer and it was $75, we need some other options that are a little bit more reasonable.
And the reason why all of that comes back to the same thing, community.
Sure.
Are we making millions of dollars at Beet Farm? No, but that's not the intention. The intention is to bring community together through food, music, art, and creation so that we can all come together and have something in common, because we sure have a lot not in common right now.
No, exactly. So the best way to kind of see what you guys are up to is your website. It's beetfarm.coop.
It's beetfarmcoop.com.
Oh, see, I did have it wrong.
That's okay.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's always up to date. So it gives you kind of the weekly.
So we're curated, which is different. So we're not a bar. We're not like, and that's one of the things, the most confusing things for people here. We're not a bar. We're a curated event space. So from week to week, things change. Month to month, we have some similar things that show up every month. We have a thing called Vibey, which is very community-based, super fun. We have a Lego table, music, all kinds of things.
We have
Switch, Mario Kart that everybody gets to play, all those kinds of things. But generally speaking, every week, you can pull up our schedule.
I want to thank Kelly Furtado for being my guest today on Savor. And we have to do a shout out for Jeremiah Matthews, your husband and partner.
Yes, because I couldn't really do it without him.
Right. He's a big part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Saver on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Will Smith. You can find us at jeffexchange.org, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.